of the Hour News. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Wednesday, November 27th, 2019. I'm your presenter, Hassan Robinson. Here are the headlines. Prominent farmer and pastor Jack Latham reveals breaking information of unfair distribution of cash and houses to residents of Petit Savan constituency. Colombia has issued its first license for domestic sales and exports of a cannabis that contains a high quantity of THC. And three British nationals were arrested in Mauritius at the Sir Siwasaga Ramagulam airport with more than 3.3 kilograms of heroin. The news is brought to you with the very kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. The details of these stories and more coming up next.
Q, top of the hour news.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe. And Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
And we're back. Attorney at law and lawyer of Lennox Linton, David Burney, clears the air on the controversial Al Jazeera documentary seeking to connect the United Workers Party team leader to the sales of diplomacy. Earlier on Tuesday, a documentary released by Al Jazeera entitled Diplomats for Sale focused on revealing members of high society for whom diplomatic immunity, trading Caribbean passports has become a magnet for wealthy foreigners, corrupt businessmen and criminals around the world. The investigation reveals details of how an oil smuggler turned ambassador turned the international fugitive bought his way into the diplomatic class. Investigators go undercover to reveal the inner workings of a secret system to find out how much it costs and what it takes to purchase what has become an ultimate luxury item, which is a diplomatic passport. The documentary revealed that some rather eyebrow-raising information, which painted the image of Lennox Linton as being involved in this diplomatic controversy. In the spirit of transparency, accountability and humility, attorney at law David Bruni made it clear that Mr. Linton is not and was not an active participant in the sale of any diplomacy whatsoever. He explains the memorandum of understanding and what the details entail, emphasizing on due diligence and transparency.
This memorandum of understanding explains that a person will be appointed, but only if he has the requisite skills and can subject himself to due diligence. How many of the ambassadors who've, first of all, this is a document. How many documents have you seen for the appointment of ambassadors? No. In this government. Lennox Linton is the first leader who has put pen to paper bravely and said, I need a team, I need something. And it's in the public interest for this to be done. It's in the public interest for him to find competent lawyers skilled in cross-border financial matters to operate for Dominica. It could be worth $2 billion to us. And what kind of leader is he? A passive, tepid person? No, I don't think that's Lennox Linton I know. He's forthright. And let me tell you that Lennox did not have any knowledge of anything that O.J. Serafin said. Take that to the bank. Lennox Linton had no knowledge of anything O.J. Serafin said that on that recording. Nothing. Lennox never met O.J., hasn't spoken to O.J. in about 10 years, and I was speaking for Lennox in relation to the memorandum of understanding.
Mr. Burney says that the memorandum of understanding is quite clear on Lennox and himself at this position, and went on to read the letter written by O.J. Serafin to Al Jazeera, which clearly stated that Mr. Burney was left outside of the loop of the operation. He then expressed his disappointment in the approach taken by Al Jazeera, which was a clandestine in his opinion.
When we received letters from Al Jazeera, O.J. was astounded. I said, O.J., look, these people have included me. This is what O.J. wrote to Al Jazeera, and he gave me a copy of the letter he wrote. This is what he said. The name of David Bruni was given, but he, Mr. Bruni, at no time requested fees from me or anyone else, as he has always consistently, as he was always consistently suspicious of being engaged by persons of dubious character. I kept that matter outside of him, for until the due diligence was completed. As OJ speaking to Al Jazeera, he's telling them, David didn't know anything about this. Why couldn't Al Jazeera have asked me directly, would Mr. Lennox Linton accept $400,000 for a passport? Isn't that normal? Isn't that normal journalistic protocol? Why do you think they didn't ask me? Why didn't they ask Lennox undercover? Go undercover and ask him. Why not ask me directly? Look, David Bruni, you're acting for Lennox Linton. Would he do this? Why all the clandestine stuff? But here's something else. When I said I speak for Mr. Linton, it was specific to the memorandum of understanding. And that is the only thing I had instructions from Mr. Lennox to deal with. The memorandum, which is clear. Lennox can stand behind this all day long.
He says that it is critically important that the diplomatic affairs of the country is organized, and what he would like to see is the government issuing documents to ambassadors that they represent a country, not just a personal reward.
It's critically important that the diplomatic affairs of the country are organized, and what I'd like to see is the government issuing such documents to ambassadors to put them on notice that they are being appointed not for the benefit of any one individual, but for the benefit of the country. And this document, signed by Mr. Linton, is a clear expression of intent of what Mr. Linton expects, not only from himself, but from his ambassadors and from his soon-to-be ministers, I hope, so that ambassadors no longer can just sit in fat offices overseas and be producing nothing for Dominica. We have, in this case, I think for the first 2 years of Mr. Linton's administration, he's going to have to engage an endless amount of professional people in order to do the work that's necessary for Dominica. So this thing may be the first time it's happened that a prospective prime minister has created a memorandum of understanding for the purpose of tying in an ambassador for the people of Dominica, for the benefit of Dominica. But that's the way we should move forward. When an ambassador is appointed, the people of Dominica should see a document like this, explaining who he is. You see, in my document, it says this: influential, ably qualified, and affluent individual, endowed with the necessary qualifications to be an asset to the diplomatic corps of the government of the Commonwealth of Dominica. Qualifications, due diligence, it's riddled with transparency and protection for the people of Dominica. Never again would a Monfaret happen if we have this document.
And that was attorney at law and lawyer for Lennox Linton, David Bruni. And prominent farmer and pastor Jack Latham has again revealed some major information of unfair distribution to residents of the Pitit Savan constituency. This time, the commodities used are houses and money. Latham told QFM News on Monday that he received a document confirming that a total amount of EC $500,000 is to be distributed to residents of that area. Some are expected to receive the cash and others will receive new homes. Latham confirmed that he has had evidence for 2 years which shows that under the watch of Pitit Savan MP Kenneth Daru, there are displaced residents who lost their homes but did not receive homes when they were being distributed. And meanwhile, people who already had homes have been given homes meant for persons who need it.
Those of you trying to judge me, let me tell you something. Dr. Daru and I, Thomas Leighton, and others. But when I discover, with tears in my eyes, the people who actually lose their home in Pishon, members of my church who actually the river washed their homes away, and up to this present moment as I speak. And you ask me, why did you wait? Because I thought, at least for campaign, even for election purposes, even to glorify yourself, before, as long as the election has not been called, I am hoping these people. Not only that, homes are being distributed to people who never lost a house in Pishle. Never. I am serious as a heart attack. Never got a house in, they never had a home in Pishle. Some of them are not even from Pishle. And the people who lost their home, they lost their homes. The river washed their homes away. Up to to today, don't you think as a minister of religion, as a Christian, I have a right to speak about that? And even before I speak about that, went through all ends to try to get them to correct the wrong. This is, if you see some condition that some people are living in, as I speak, and you are telling me, you get, I don't care, you say everybody will, no, everybody will not get a house. What I'm saying, these are the first set of people who were supposed to receive a house.
Latham announced that the committee, which was created to oversee the fair distribution of housing in Petit Savan and of which he is a part of, along with Dr. Kenneth Daru, Thomas Later, and others, was apparently sabotaged by government officials who stopped oversight over the distribution of the process.
Those of you trying to judge me, let me tell you something. Dr. Daru and I, Thomas Later, and others walked the streets of Pishle with Dr. Daru. There was a committee that was supposed to take care of that housing project. There was a committee that was supposed to oversee the distribution of that money. All of a sudden, that committee died. And with all effort, I have tried. I called Thomas, I called Paula, I said, let's have a meeting. This is not going right. Because when we went through the village, house to house, interviewing people, I know everyone who had a request, what they wanted, whether they want their house repaired, whether they want to move to Bellevue. I was with Dr. Daru. I've been working with Dr. Daru for 2 years. So when finally, I am hoping beyond hope, okay, maybe, they will give these people homes. Right now, people are receiving keys privately. It's a disaster. Trust me, I am not envy. I have my house. I have a little house where bamboo leaves. I can live there. I have a room I can sleep. I don't get wet. So I never asked them for home. I don't need it. I don't want it. But for God's sake, Magwe, sir, how do you sleep at night knowing that people have lost their homes and you refuse to give them a house and giving, if you are not giving anybody, don't give anybody.
There's quite a bit of work that we have been doing.
We apologize for the technical difficulties. That was a prominent farmer and pastor, Jack Latham. General Manager Gregoire Thomas announces that Adexia is in the process of presenting a proposal to obtain resources, and Dominic, as a craft sector, can expect to receive an injection of $300,000 in that regard. Thomas held a press conference on Tuesday morning at which he made that revelation. He stated that all sectors of the craft sector are expected to benefit from this initiative.
There's quite a bit of work that we have been doing, particularly with craft. We are in the process right now of presenting a proposal to Compete Caribbean so that we can draw down some resources to support the craft sector. And sometime in December, and hopefully we are keeping our fingers crossed, that we will get a nod so that we can do a presentation to an investment panel to attract some $300,000 to support the craft sector. And the craft, we are talking not just the wooden crafts and the leather crafts, but we are also talking about Kalinago craft.
The general manager said that work has been established within the Caribbean Export to deal with the Kalinago craft. He said, based on geographical research and consultancy findings, it is recommended to look at the collective mark.
Sometime earlier in the year, we also did some work with Caribbean Export, where we have been looking at the development of Kalinago craft. Our original intention was to consider what we call a geographical indication for the Kalinago craft. But based on the findings of the consultancy report that we have, the recommendation is that we look at a collective mark. So collective mark is just one stitch towards the geographical indication. And it's a way of branding, it's a way of maintaining the cultural heritage of the Kalinago people. And we believe that there is a lot of potential in terms of supporting Kalinago craft and supporting the craft sector in general.
And that was the general manager of Dexia, Gregoire Thomas. And Dominica is looking to become a fully recognized body to grant TVET qualifications. The Dominica Council on TVET held a national symposium earlier this week where the director of a TVET Council, Lester Revere, says that work is ongoing to develop TVET in Dominica. He added that a new day is dawning for Dominica as they are looking to transform the attitudes and approaches to the TVET implementation and the acceptance of TVET as a clear path to a fruitful career and a rewarding life.
A new day is dawning for Tibet in this country. Going forward, the Tibet Council is committed to working assiduously to, one, transform the attitudes and approaches to Tibet implementation and the acceptance of Tibet as a clear path to a fruitful career and a rewarding life, and to increase Tibet-oriented advocacy through traditional and digital media platforms, and to ensure that mechanisms are in place for the continuity and sustainability of Tibet in this country. This is what we are determined to do as the Tibet Council in collaboration with the Ministry of Education and Human Resource Development.
He says that success from these interventions will put them in a better position to gain national training agency status.
Success from these interventions, which will in turn position us to receive approval from the Caribbean Association of National Training Agencies, CANTA, to deliver CVQs and gain national training agency status, to be a fully recognized, approved body to grant TVET qualifications.
And that was the director of the TVET Council, Lester Revere. And Dr. Thompson Fontaine has expressed disappointment with some of the CARICOM leaders' public posture not to interfere in Dominica's fight for electoral reform before they participate in other general elections. Dr. Fontaine shared his sentiments on QFMI on the election program, hosted by Sheridan Gregram. Mr. G.
Apparently, we've heard Gaston Brown saying he's not interfering, even after he said that it is okay to have the election, it's too short a time to have electoral reform. Then he says he's not interfering. We have not heard from the other leaders. Mayor Motley, interestingly, is very, very quiet. One has to wonder again what happened with this Ross University deal. Is Mayor Motley implicit with Roosevelt Skerrick in plotting against the people of Dominica to move Ross from Dominica to Barbados? I'm hearing that there are some interesting documents that have been garnered or gained by some authorities that we might hear about. But we have a problem in Dominica, a crisis. I think we are at the point of crisis, and we should act accordingly. We need absolutely to, as Dominicans, to decide what's the best course of action. And for me, the best course of action is not to have the elections on the 6th, but to postpone the election and to call for cleansing of the list. And until we do that, then we're just making a mockery of our democracy.
And that was a Dr. Thompson Fountain. And event committee chairperson and head of Dexia's Export Promotion and Development, J. Lloyd Pascal, has announced that Dexia will be hosting the second annual Strictly Local Christmas Village, or SLCV, taking place at the Roseau Market from Wednesday, 18th December, to Friday, 20th December, 2019. Pascal told reporters at a press conference at Dexia's conference room on Tuesday, this event is happening because of the overwhelming positive feedback of the first edition in 2018. All citizens and visitors are being advised to attend the major event carded for the 18th of December 2019 to Friday 20th December 2019.
Today is very historic for us because we are launching the second edition of Strictly Local Christmas Village, which will be taking place during the period 18th to the 20th of December 2019. We launched that first event last year and we felt it was a very big success for us, and also for the producers and vendors who participated. And from all reviews, we had some good, excellent reviews from them actually, and they felt that we should continue this event and make it an annual event in the life of Dominica and in the life of Dexia. And so we are here today to launch this second edition, and you'll hear a little bit more about what this one will involve and how we have progressed over the period.
And that was event committee chairperson and head of Dexia's Export Promotion and Development, J. Lloyd Pascal. And law enforcement said that there will be no tolerance for any motorcade held on Sunday, December 1st, 2019. Police Chief Daniel Carbon says that he met with both political parties to discuss the matter, as he explained that the country is very much politically charged, as well as the presence of a mega tourist ship to touch base with Dominican shores will be held on that day. Carbon expressed that it is important that persons adhere to these guidelines.
I take this opportunity to inform the general public that I have just concluded a meeting with my high command and representative of the leadership of the Dominican Labour Party and the United Workers Party. I summoned the meeting to discuss applications that I have received from both parties to have their motorcade on Sunday, the 1st of December, 2019. After having discussions with them, I have taken a decision not to grant permission to any of the parties to have the island-wide motorcade on Sunday, 1st December 2019, or any day, as a matter of fact. I have not given permission for any of the parties to have any motorcade on any day. I have concerns over the security of the state. The general election campaign is highly politically charged. I have to take the safety of motorists, road users, pedestrians into consideration. There will also be two cruise ships in port on Sunday, the 1st of December, 2019. And one of those cruise ships is a mega ship. Both parties came to the understanding and they decided that they will not have a motorcade. And so I am asking the general public to be guided accordingly, that I have not given permission to any of the parties to have any motorcade.
And that was a police chief, Daniel Carbon. And Colombia has issued its first license for domestic sales and exports of cannabis that contains a high quantity of THC. The South American nation has a fledgling medical marijuana industry, but it has previously focused on products in high CBD. Now, Chiron Life Sciences is permitted to cultivate 560 kilograms of high THC cannabis before the end of 2019 and sell it to the Colombian patients and export markets. Cannabis with a THC content greater than 1% is strictly regulated in Colombia and Chiron and had to complete a stability testing and prove a legal demand before gaining the license. It has now registered strains with Colombian Agricultural Institute's National Cultivar Registry and received quotas for commercial cultivation and fabrication. It is also permitted to export whole plant extracts as raw material to Uruguay, the first country to legalize recreational marijuana, and Brazil via the Mercosur trading block. This venture will commence on the Q1 2020, where Chiron now plans to treat 15,000 Colombian patients suffering from chronic pain, anxiety, nausea with its first batch of THC-based medicinal cannabis. Juan Diego Alvarez, Chiron Vice President of Regulatory Affairs, called the licensing a landmark and a game changer. The firm is based in Canada and listed on the TSXV, but the bulk of its operations take place in Colombia, and it's bidding to become dominant cannabis company in Latin America and a market of more than $622 million as well as a people. And in other news, three British nationals were arrested in Mauritius at the Sir Siwagosa Ramgolam Airport with more than 3.3 kilograms of heroin. The suspect purged a total of 282 drug dumplings with an estimated market value of 50 million Mauritian rupees, over $1,350,000. They were arrested after their arrival in the Green Channel of SSR Airport by officers of the Anti-Drug and Smuggling Unit and officers of the Mauritius Revenue Authority. Aaron Matthew James, a 42-year-old builder, Ashley Tienry, a 32-year-old bricklayer, and Asa Garbot, a 37-year-old electrician, were suspected of carrying drugs in their stomachs. They were to stay in a bungalow in the seaside resort in Flick and Flack in the west of Indian Ocean Island, and Asa Garbot and Aaron Matthew James traveled to Thailand before traveling to Kenya, where they were joined by Ashley Tienry. The three men then flew to Mauritius from Kenyan capital. After medical examination, they were admitted to the Jawaharlal Nehru Hospital, that's Jawaharlal Nehru Hospital, where they purged the drugs under police surveillance. And that's the morning news. Here's a recap of the headlines. Prominent farmer and pastor Jack Latham reveals breathtaking information of unfair distribution of cash and houses to residents of the Pitit Savan constituency. Colombia has issued its first license for domestic sales and exports of cannabis that contains high quantity THC, and three British nationals were arrested in Mauritius at the Sir Siwagasa Ramgoram Airport with more than 3.3 kilograms of heroin. The news was brought to you for the very kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. Our video presenter, Hassan Robinson.
top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever.